The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 3-3-2021, third day of March 2021. And as promised, waiting in the wings right now is Bob Woodson from the Woodson Center. The web address is Woodson Center, just as it sounds, W-O-O-D-S-O-N, Center, C-E-N-T-E-R, .org. I've seen this gentleman on One America News. I've seen him on Fox. You probably won't see him on any other news channels. is that about right, Bob?
that's very accurate. Yeah, that's right.
Well, and when I saw you, I thought, you know, I have been saying this on the air for years. It is time that we have an adult conversation about race in America. And here you are.
Well, thank you.
How did you get started doing this? What prompted you to objectively look at the problems that were going on and decided this is what I need to do?
Well, first of all, I'm a veteran of the civil rights movement. And I was active in the 60s, and I left the civil rights movement following the death of Dr. King with my disagreements over issues like force busing for integration. I was against it. I also believe that when the poverty programs got underway, I saw from the very beginning that it was going to have a devastating effect on the path forward. And so I objected to the poverty programs. And so then that set me on a course. I realized that many of the people who were black and poor who suffered and sacrificed most did not benefit from the change, because Dr. King said, what difference does it make if you have the opportunity to eat in the restaurant of your choice or live in a neighborhood if you don't have the means to exercise that right? So I really realized that opportunity has to be associated with preparation. So I left the movement and started to work on behalf of low-income people of all races. And so that's why my perspective has been influenced by the history of, unfortunately, watching the rich legacy of the civil rights movement decline into a race grievance industry that has been hijacked by the radical left and being used now as a bludgeon against the country.
I would say this, Bob, that without dragging you down this rabbit hole, because we have a limited amount of time and this is the introductory interview on the network, but something happened on the way to freedom for everybody in this country. And it was 1871, after the quote-unquote Civil War, the one that was now proclaimed that was fought over slavery. And it was over states' rights. That was one of the issues, but I do believe with the Industrial Revolution and replacing manpower, slavery would have went by the wayside anyhow. But having said all that, I don't know what civil rights are. I don't know what the ACLU is. I do know what constitutional rights are, or God-given rights.
Well, I was, like I say, the civil rights for me is that we were not permitted to vote and therefore had no political control. And so I fought for the right to vote, and I fought to support the civil rights laws that ended segregation. That I was stationed in the South in the military in the 50s, and I saw how evil that system was. And so I think that it was important for the nation to address its humanity when it comes to its black citizens. So I think that that was a noble struggle, and it helped America become the rich nation that it is. Dr. King was compelling America to live up to its promise. And so that's what the civil rights movement was all about. It's compelling America to fulfill its promise of freedom and justice for all.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think any sane man would ever argue with that. If God is in charge and he created all, he created the white people and the black people and the yellow people and the red people and all the people. I've watched this, Bob, over the years, and I remember back in 67, Detroit. I was around then, Bob. I saw this going on. I saw what culture was being created by blacks, the music industry in this country, Motown. God, I remember listening to a radio station, I think half the country could get it, was CKLW 800 AM. And that's what all his kids, this is before FM radio, this is what all the kids listened to. And a good percentage of that was very upbeat, very positive, melodic, good, entertaining black music coming out of Motown. Something happened on the March to Freedom. What went wrong in this country? Why are blacks being used in this country to this day rather than uplifting them and really making positive change?
Well, I really think that there was a major social upheaval in the 60s. We have a group called 1776, where we brought together 23 scholars and activists to push back against the the New York Times, the 1619 project that defines America by slavery. And what we documented is that at the end of slavery, if you look at the records of six major plantations, 70% of those slave families had a man and a woman raising children. And that tradition continued for a century, up until 1965. Elderly people could walk in the black community without fear of being assaulted. But all of that changed in the 60s. With the welfare, with the poverty programs, there was a major upheaval where some social scientists, I won't take the time to go into the details because it's clearly laid out in Fred Siegel's book, The Future Once Happened Here, how social policy analysts came together and said, if we can separate work from income, it will make families destroy nuclear families, problems. And then welfare was offered, and millions of blacks were enticed into the welfare system. And the plan by the socialists at that time was force America to engage in income redistribution and force socialism on the country. And blacks were used as pawns in that endeavor. And that's when you saw the poverty programs open up offices and recruit people. So it was a combination of social policy, a combination of welfare programs, and it was devastating to the black culture at that time. So the out-of-wedlock births went from 20% to 70% in a period of a few decades.
before we had instituted welfare in this country, and when you were recounting that, I was thinking, yeah, the government, we have the benefits for you. Here's your entitlement. Step right up to the plate. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. Whenever I hear words like that, I start running the other way. It's what I've witnessed that has happened in this country is there are people that are hell-bent on dividing this country. And old Abe Lincoln said it, a house divided cannot stand. Well, we had our 60s, we had the civil rights movement, and I don't know if there's any, as I said before, any sane people on this planet that would deny anybody a vote. If you are born in this country, you're born an American. I have a real problem with African Americans or any hyphenated anything. If your history is from your the land that you were born in, your parents, your grandparents, or whatever came over here, you know, that's fine. That was your origin. But if you're born here in America, you're a natural-born American. And I have always had a hard time. I've noticed that the hyphenated African-American, I've always sniffed out a racial agenda behind that. And
no, I agree with you. I don't agree with hyphenated either. I think, and again, I'm a follower of Dr. King. And Dr. King was fighting for inclusion. The civil rights movement was black-led, but it was inclusive of everybody. And King said, we all should be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin.
Those words are burned into my memory.
And most black Americans believe that. But if you look at the polls, the radical left progressives are really hijacking the moral authority of the civil rights movement and pretend to represent the interests of blacks. But polls indicate, for instance, 80% of blacks do not agree that we should defund the police. 60% of blacks polled when asked if racial discrimination were the principal barrier that is keeping you from living a prosperous life, they answered no.
Was there a question in there about Donald Trump? Do you believe Donald Trump is a racist?
I don't recall a Trump, but certainly he received more black votes than any Republican since Nixon. Nixon was one of the most popular Republicans to win, and he beat Kennedy in DeKalb County, Georgia, because he was Eisenhower's point man on civil rights. And Trump, received more black votes because of his policies.
The issue of Donald Trump, of course, this may shock you, but I didn't vote for Donald Trump. And if it were my choice, I would say, well, I don't particularly like the guy. But what I saw him do and what he was accused of doing or not doing, I watched 2 weeks after he took office. He brought the Black Preachers of America into the White House and had a serious, and I mean a serious, not a photo op, but a serious meeting with these guys. And the issue was of being able to have the black pastors preach from the pulpit and not just recount the story of Jesus and the apostles and Timothy whatever. He said that I'm lifting the 501c3 barrier against your churches because it precludes you from really preaching from the pulpit. They turned us into a political thing, tried to put the pastors under the reign of the IRS, and if you color outside of these lines, well, you'll have your 501c3 taken away. I sat and watched the man do away with that, to open up black churches so people could really get involved, not only in the Bible, but in their communities, with people. I had never seen Donald Trump. The one thing that is missed on all of the, including Fox News, the supposed conservative station, which it's really not. They have a few hosts on there that are still managing to keep the ratings up somewhat to satisfy the advertisers, but they're losing quickly. But nobody ever mentioned, Bob, that Donald Trump once dated a black girl. Oh, my God. Nobody mentions it. But Donald Trump was a misogynist. He was a racist. He was this. He was that. I looked at Donald Trump, and I'll just jump on the political bandwagon here just for 1 second. What I saw, people wondered who Donald Trump was. Well, who is this guy? Is he a handpicked just to get in there and mess things? Donald Trump was a business guy. He did real estate in New York. And he was a Democrat. He was a Republican. He was whatever he needed to be to get job one done. And job one was making money for Donald J. Trump. You know, we get that. But people would ask me, well, why do you think Trump ran for office? The man's ego told him, look, I know business. I can see what's wrong with this country. I see that the jobs have been shipped out. I see a lot of problems here, us joining in things worldwide that are going to cost this country jobs. And I'm here to put you people back to work. That's what I saw Donald Trump as, a jobs creator. And evidently it was working. But now, not so much. Not so much.
No, I just think that he was a transactional person. What I admire most about him was he was not a guilty white person. There are two groups of people, I think, who bothered me most, and that is self-flagellating guilty white people and rich, angry blacks who are exploiting the pain and suffering of people who are part of the race grievance industry. So those two groups, and Trump was he said to black Americans, what the hell do you have to lose? And that resonated with people. And you saw evidence in the 2018 vote in Florida with DeSantis that blacks, if offered a clear opportunity to vote for policies that favor them, they will do it. DeSantis ran against Gillum, the black mayor of Tampa, I think it was. And Gillum, the black candidate, brought in Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama to campaign for him. Well, DeSantis won by 32,000 votes, and that's because 100,000 low-income black parents voted for DeSantis because of his position on choice and education. So it was really the large turnout of black votes that got this Republican elected. And they voted against Oprah and against Obama, which demonstrated that when given a clear opportunity, blacks will break ranks and vote their interest.
Well, you were mentioning rich black people. She is more than included in that. She is extremely wealthy. Have you been in contact with her? You get a okay. I hit something there. Go ahead.
I was on her show many years ago. I was on her show, but Oprah has always been and has turned farther left than anything anyone I know. So she would not give me the time of day because. She is one of those who is a part of the race grievance industry herself. The very fact that she backed Black Lives Matter, helped to pay for the ad promoting 1619 as the real date of America's birth. So she has not been helpful at all.
We're coming up on break here in about 1 minute. Has there been, what blacks in this country of notoriety have come forth to help you?
Well, none of them have helped me, but Denzel Washington has been very strong, and Tyler Perry is another one who has spoken the truth. Samuel Jackson has done the same thing. So there have been a few very, very prominent entertainers that are pro-American and have spoken up in support of the country's values.
The land of the free and home of the brave, that I don't know if we're brave enough anymore. I know one thing for sure, we're not as free as we used to be. My guest today, Bob Woodson, WoodsonCenter.org, folks. You can become a member. You can donate to it. Here's a man that's trying to make a difference. We'll be right back.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
Absolutely love that clip. I played that, Bob, several times on the program. And at first glance, or first hearing it, he said, I don't want a Black History Month. And then he says, this is American history.
Right.
And isn't it strange that they relegated the shortest month of the year to Black History Month?
That tells you something, doesn't it?
It sure does. By the way, I was... Have you spoken directly to Denzel Washington?
No, I'm trying to reach out to him to see if he will support our voices of Black Mothers United.
If you can get a hold of him, I will offer the services of this network. If you will, or if he will, or anybody of your choosing, if he will voice an ad for your endeavors for the Woodson Center, I will play that on this network free of charge.
Great.
I mean, hands have got to start reaching out to other hands because we see the cruel joke that's being played here. Okay, here comes the white guy story. every white guy has a story about a black childhood mm-hmm. friend. Well, here's mine. I was in the fifth grade struggling. There was only one black kid in the public school in the fifth grade class, and his name was Richard Sherman. Richard was very helpful to me because I was flunking math very badly. Even the teacher couldn't help me. So this kid came over to my house to help me with my math. And one day my mother came home early, came into the kitchen, looked at me, called me into the other room. And forgive me, I'm going to quote verbatim. What's that nigger doing in our house? And I looked at her. I said, you mean Richard? I said, he's here helping me with my homework, Mom. Well, what will the neighbors say? It was never spoken of again, Bob. She never brought it up, and I didn't either. But what she was afraid of is not necessarily what she thought or even what I thought. It's what the neighbors thought. And I saw that not as a systemic racism problem per se. What I saw that was just passing down the torch to future generations with a slant that didn't have to be there. And this was, we're talking early 60s here. We're talking even before the March on Washington, before the vote, before civil rights, before any of that. And I never forgot that because Richard was, I'd been over to his house. We were both equally poor. I know what it's like to be poor. Black people in this country do not have a corner on that market. And Bob, that stuck with me my entire life because I knew who this kid was. I knew who I was, and I knew how I felt about things. But there was resistance from behind on the subject of having black friends or whatever the case may be, and it just stuck with me. So if you get a hold of Denzel, which by the way I've played Mr. Washington's commencement speeches. Here is a headliner that when you see he's in a title role of a movie, you want to see it because you recognize Denzel Washington as an outstanding actor, probably more so than Sidney Poitier was back in the 50s and the 60s. He is a man of standard. He carries himself, and he is not a fool. And he says what's on his mind. There have been other people that have come out, Bob. Ex-football players, receiver, I'll think of his name here in a second, for the Dallas Cowboys. He was addressing, I remember he was addressing the rookie class of 2011 that had just been drafted and they were going into the league. And he gave a speech. He said, look, he said, you're out of the hood now. You have made it. You are a very select few of people that are good enough to play football. So do yourself a favor, drop the hood antics, the gangster stuff, and appreciate what you have because it's not going to last that long. I played that entire interview. Michael Irving was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And I have from time to time, and this is a mostly white audience, sorry to say, because this should be more inclusive. There should be more people joining in, listening to the conversation, getting involved, and doing what they can. Because this is not insurmountable. But if this is left alone, this is a tempest that is getting ready to boil over. All right, we got another break here, and then we got a long segment. My guest today, very glad to have this guy. Wanted to interview somebody like him for years. Bob Woodson, WoodsonCenter.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Alrighty, we are back. The phone lines are open. We only have this gentleman here for the first hour of the program today. Sally in Alaska. Hello, Sally.
Yes, I just want to tell you that I'm so glad I picked this opportune moment to call Mr. Woodson, who I have admired from the last few months listening to his wisdom. And I just donated $100 on your show. And I'm so proud of myself. I'm on a fixed income up here, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and I did it. And I'm going to get a T-shirt. And I just want to get off quick and listen to more of Mr. Woodson. And Mr. Woodson, thank you so much. I've already fallen in love with you. And thank you very much. I want to listen to more. Bye-bye.
Well, that's good. I'd like to recommend that I have a new book out. It's called Lessons from the Least of These, The Woodson Principles. It's on sale on Amazon, and it really lays out, I think, a very inspirational and aspirational kind of description of how we got in this mess, but also it has recommendations of how we can get out of it. That people are motivated to change and improve when we can show them victories that are possible. That America is not about Good Friday. America is about Easter Sunday. And that's what we just need to keep in mind.
Well, and reading directly from your website, the Woodson Center operates throughout the nation to help community and faith-based organizations with training, technical assistance, and linkages to sources of support. The center chronicles and interprets their experiences to make recommendations for public policy and works to remove barriers that hamper their efforts to solve societal problems. And there you can get involved, you can make a donation, become a member, become a volunteer, become a partner, get involved. And this, gosh, there is so much resource out there. I have often wondered what has happened to the black pastors in the communities that aren't marching in the streets and lifting up blacks, but telling them that, look, this is what we need to do. This is where we're at. We have a problem, but this is not insurmountable. This is something that we can do.
Well, what you'll find is that all America needs to know, like the left says, that a lot of the problems you're witnessing today of the high crime rates in these communities and out of wedlock births is a direct legacy of slavery and discrimination. That is just not true. That the marriage rate between 1930 and 1940 in the black community, at a time when we were in the Depression and racism was enshrined in law, black America had the highest marriage rate of any other group in society. When we were denied access to hotels, we built our own. When we were denied access to hospitals, medical schools, we built our own. You got 20 blacks who were born slaves who died millionaires because of our free enterprise system. Two of them went back and purchased the plantations on which they were slaves. One of them took in the destitute family of the slave master. And as an act of profound radical grace, this is the only nation on the face of the earth that ever fought a civil war to end slavery. And so this rich legacy of self-determination, America is defined not by its birth defect of slavery, but by the promise that it holds. How many of us want to be judged by the worst of what we were when we were young? How many? No, because America is a country of second chances. It is a country founded on the whole notion of redemption, transformation, restoration, resilience. This is who we are as a nation. And the race grievance hustlers would do everything to divide us, to try to take us apart. But we are determined to unite this country around the values of our founders, its faith, family, and self-determination. The Woodson Center is committed to bringing us back to where this country, why it's the shining city on the hill.
The one instance that was used to ramp up Black Lives Matter and supposedly Antifa, that is anti-fascist, they now say that this is not about the Democrat Party or Joe Biden or anything else. This is about tearing this country down and rebuilding it. Is this why we saw Confederate statues taken down? Is this why suggestion was made that we should take down the founding Whig guy by the name of Washington? We need to tear down the Washington Monument. Well, your thoughts here on Antifa and Black Lives Matter, sir?
They are Marxist. They are not seeking social justice. They took down Frederick Douglass's statue in Rochester, New York. And if left to their own, they will take down Dr. King's statue too, because they have migrated through burning Bibles on the streets of Portland, Oregon, desecrating the Christian cross, and said that the Christian cross is a symbol of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And the nuclear family, they took that off their website, but they still believe that America is an evil place and therefore should be destroyed. They're out to destroy us. And that's why the Woodson Center is committed to deracializing race and to desegregate poverty. Low-income people of black and white and brown and red have more in common than they do differences. We must stop looking at life through the prism of race. I'm more concerned about, are you my kind, not whether you're my color.
In Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Floyd incident kicked off Black Lives Matter and protests nationwide. And Bob, when I saw that, I thought, okay, here it comes. Here it comes. And I watched what Black Lives Matter did. I watched Christopher Wray, by the way, yesterday, proclaim that the majority of white people in this country are militia people, we're racist, and y'all better watch out because we're going to start killing blacks and whatever else. We're out of control. We're the right wing of Donald J. Trump, the most supreme supremacist that ever was. And now we have the director of the FBI telling Congress and the American people that, well, these white people out here, they just want to kill and they don't care. They don't care. And I'm looking. He's using the word terrorist, proclaiming that we are terrorists. And I take great exception to that because I love my country very much. It's my government I fear. You know, I'm looking what you guys are doing, what you are doing. You've gone into schools in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not an easy thing to do because people don't even understand what's going on in these classrooms, Bob. They don't understand the discipline problems that teachers, if they're even good teachers, are having. Not only getting these kids into school, but having them sit down and learn. But you've gone into Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you've had an increase in grade point average of 9.3%. Rates of graduation from high school, 8%. Reduction in truancy. They're not out on the streets or they're not home playing video games. Almost 25%. You've been in there. You've rolled up your sleeves. You've gone to work. How many people, and this is really the crux for me, because I've seen a lot of good men come and go. I've seen a lot of men exhaust themselves through their efforts, and they have died without their dream coming to fruition. What concerns me is the amount of support you're getting from people of notoriety, not being notorious, of notoriety, of note in this country. What bothers me is you don't have more black support, because I'm a white guy. If I go into the inner cities and start talking to blacks and to have this conversation that you and I are having, it's not going to be received well. So my best option is to support those that know what's going on, that can have a chance of pulling this off, and it's got to be done.
But I think freedom-loving Americans like your listeners and the people that I represent, I think a lot of conservatives are not investing the way George Soros and people on the left are doing. Mm. They really aren't, and we don't have a ground game. George Soros is investing in a ground game. It's destructive. But conservatives, a lot of them would rather write checks to political parties and send money to think tanks who issue white papers condemning what the other side does. We've got to get down and dirty and begin to invest in neighborhood-level institutions that are doing the kind of things that our groups are doing around the country. That our neighborhood groups in these communities, they are addressing the enemy within the black community. But they need support. And support is coming. I must say, I'm very impressed with the level of people like your listeners who have decided that they are going to roll up their sleeves and be part of the solutions. I have lawyers, accountants, not only writing checks to the center, but calling and say, what can I do to help groups to start small businesses? So we have a group in Detroit of, they have a black school that's taken over, and small business owners are in there. It's like an incubator facility. We are recruiting lawyers and accountants to come alongside this organization and provide the kind of technical support they need so they can begin to create wealth from within that community. So, but that's what we are doing, is mobilizing people in the community to address their problem. In other words, you have thousands of black mothers who are losing children to urban violence. It has nothing to do with institutional racism. Nothing. And you have Appalachian, white Appalachian mothers who are losing their children to prescription drugs. And the sons and daughters of wealthy Asians and whites in Silicon Valley are losing their children to suicide. Suicide is 6 times higher than the national average in Silicon Valley, where you have two-parent households with a median income of $180,000. So there is a serious moral and spiritual freefall going on in America that is consuming people of all racial groups and income groups. And we've got to, because the young people lack a sense of content and meaning to their lives that's causing them either to take a life or to take their own. What we're trying to do at the Woodson Center is bring these groups together so we can sit and learn and teach one another and try to find solutions to this emptiness that is causing our young people to consume their lives. But we're not going to do that as long as we're compelled to look through a racial prism. That white mother who lost her child to suicide has more in common with the black mother who lost their daughter to homicide than they do their racial differences.
I'm going to squeeze in a few calls here for you, Bob. Wayne in Texas. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. Thank you very much. And Mr. Woodson, it's always it's a pleasure to talk to you, and I've always enjoyed your visits with Tucker Carlson. I think that's some of the best television out there, so thank you very much. But I wanted to just kind of follow up on some of the things you were saying, and you too, John, where we're seeing this constant comment about systemic racism, and now we see critical race theory coming into the schools, which is pure poison. The constant demonization of the media of Trump supporters and white supremacists. And I see a major collision coming, and I just wonder if Mr. Woodson could comment on what he sees that could be done to stop it, because I see it in a not-too-distant future if it continues.
Good question.
I totally agree with you, and it scares me. But the Woodson Center, thank God, over the past 40 years, we have developed close relationships with 2,500 low-income grassroots leaders among all racial groups. And all of the times that we have come together for conferences and retreats, race never came up one time, because 80% of my closest friends have X has letters in front of their names, not letters in back of them, like X something. And so the great hope for America is what we're trying to do is mobilize our grassroots leaders by the thousands to come together in a forum so that we can come together in solidarity, because white people living in trailer parks who voted for Trump are not racist. And inner city blacks who are seeing their children destroyed with black on black crime are patriots as well. But we just need to get these so-called leaders who are supposedly representing us out the way. We need to come together, and that's why we're trying to build a grassroots coalition around the country so we can come together. We're trying to raise the resources so we can, as soon as this pandemic is over, I think I can put together a group of 2,000 or 3,000 low-income people, black, white, brown, to come together to demonstrate to America that we are not going to allow the racist to divide us as a nation. So the Woodson Center, and I think it's important for this movement to be led by people like myself, who look like me, because we are the ones who can withdraw the moral authority, those who purport to represent black community. And so the moment that people stand up and speak for themselves, but I'm not going to see this country destroyed by its enemies. We have enough God-fearing, American-loving people. We just need to come together. And that's what the Woodson Center is committed to doing.
Well, we have something working against us, and that's the controlled media in this country. This is the exact reason why I have been doing this for over 3 decades. I've been behind a microphone for 3 decades because I saw it a long time ago of control and manipulation through the media, and now it is there for all to see. Now, you mentioned black leadership. I lived in Detroit. I know the history of Detroit. I know what happened in the 20s and the 30s. I know how many blacks came up from the South. They needed labor, and they needed a lot of it. A lot of blacks went to work in those factories in Detroit, and they had decent homes, the bungalows, that you couldn't build one of these three-bedroom bungalows now for probably less than $200,000. Well-constructed housing and nice, clean, safe neighborhoods. And then the black leadership took over, and after a number of years,
they sold them out.
Oh, brother, did they sell them out.
Kwame Kirkpatrick, the Jeffersons. I call it black-on-black crime in the suites.
Yeah. Moving on up to the east side.
Moving on up.
Let's go to...
No, but that's why the big divide is not, it is not black or white. The big divide is evil versus good.
I couldn't agree more. Let me squeeze one other one in here before our time is up. John in California, you're on with Bob Woodson.
Yes, hi, John. Mr. Woodward, thank you for being on. I had a chance last night to view your website and read your success story, and I'm very impressed with it. And with the work you've done to keep on going, and if I can support what I can do, I will.
Okay, but let me stop you here, John. You got to say his name, but you got to say it correctly.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But when I have guests on the air, it's important that they understand who and what they are. But more importantly, get their
name
right.
That's fine.
It's Woodson. No. I'm not admonishing you. I'm just correcting. WoodsonCenter.org is the website. You were saying you were there.
Yes, I was. After you mentioned it, I looked, read through it all last night.
Good.
I was very impressed with it, Mr. Woodson. And what you've done, yeah, I hope you keep it up. I know it gets hard. I've read through not just RBN, and I appreciate John bringing you on. He could bring more people like you. Publications like the Spotlight newspaper, and after that, American Free Press, they had a lot of writings, and even black writers, a lot of things I learned. Ken Hamblin, he was an author and a talk show host. He was very good, and he brought up a lot of stuff that I probably would have never seen in the regular media. So I'm glad that there's another venue and through RBN, and you can keep on going. So again, thank you for all your great work, and keep going.
Thank you, John. By the way, I wanted to mention to you, Bob, we're getting ready to expand operations, and it's going to mean a whole lot more listeners to this network. And I am not going to forget you. I want to stay in touch with you. I want to help bring this project along. Anybody that you come across that, and anytime an interview is needed for people that are supporting you or yourself, it does not matter. I'm down with this. It needed to be done. This needed to be done a long time ago. Better late than never is the old saying, but I hope... Go ahead.
But I'll be delighted to recommend some of our scholars and our activists who can share some of their testimonies with your listeners. But I thank God for your network, and I hope that we can join together with others like you around the nation and really take back this country.
people don't understand. Bob, there's so much it's rolling in my head right now that I want to spit out, but I know we're short of time. But the things aren't looking real good. I pay a lot of attention to cultural issues, societal issues, economic issues, political issues. And the future that I see is not going to be too rosy economically. Culturally, I know we're in a lot of trouble right now, and that can be rectified. But this economy, we've got a housing bubble because of the COVID-19. Mortgages are not being paid. People with apartment buildings that owe the banks for their mortgages are not being paid. And they've floated now about $11 trillion bubble in the housing market that is just getting ready to pop. And I'm afraid if that happens, it's going to drag the rest of this weak economy down, and there's not going to be any coming back from it.
Well, I thank God at least these states are opening up immediately.
Well, I'll tell you, after the snowstorms and ice storms we had here in Texas, I said on air, and I'm talking about Governor Abbott, I said, I will give the man 7, maybe 10 days, and watch, he will lift this COVID-19. And lo and behold, that's exactly what he did. Politically, he was in a lot of hot water, so it's, okay, how do I make things better politically for myself right now? Well, he did it. And, you know, that's a subject matter for another time. But speaking of time, we are out of time. And I greatly appreciate you coming up on the air. And thanks to your guy there that hooked the interview up. Very nice gentleman. I appreciate it very much. And anything that we can do, and as I said, this is just not an interview, and I'm going to forget it and put it in the archives and we move on. I'm not going to forget you, Mr. Woodson, and anything that this network can do in the future to help you and your project, you don't even have to ask. Just knock on the door.
Well, I really appreciate it, and God bless you, and God bless your listeners, and God bless this nation.
There hasn't been another one like it, and if we don't save this one, we'll never see another one like it. That's for sure. Mr. Woodson.
We got no alternative.
you're absolutely right. On this one, there's no other choice. What's got to be done has got to be done.
There's no second place.
All righty. Mr. Woodson, again, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All righty.
All right.
I've been looking forward to this. And this is just an introductory. There's stuff that I would like to go into with him, more detail. But obviously, you can only cover so much in an hour, especially an introductory interview. But I'm going to have this guy back because I'm tired of this racial crap being shoved down our throats. I'm really sick of it. And if Abe Lincoln did get one thing right in his supposedly Republican career, it's a house divided cannot stand, and that is a fact. All right, second hour of the National Intel Report coming up. Stay tuned. Tomorrow I'm going to have Steve Elkins fill in for me and Rick Adams on Friday. I am going to be migrating toward that Roger Landry guy, and hopefully we're real close, minutes if not hours away from what I've been teasing you about for the last year. It's real, folks, and it's going to happen. We'll be back.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.